Welcome to the third episode of the NVXS podcast. I'm Jamie Tay, and with me is...
Mick Curran.
And we're going to talk about some stuff. And the noise is gone.
Yeah, that's good. Not sure what they're doing outside, but...
First of all, just really briefly on the 2012.2 release. As you're probably all aware, 2012.2 RC1 came out last week, because we wanted to get some wider testing on some stuff. And we're just about to push out RC2, which has a few... fixes to the update download and installation process, and also to portable creation. So you now should be able to create portables on networks, and it won't not work if an application hasn't released a file or something like that. Previously to just come up with a retry thing, and you can never get to succeed.
Yes.
And there's also one other bug fix, which is very interesting. If you're on XP and you're not an administrator and you do install an update, there was this thing where it did fail the installation, but it also copied the whole of your System32 folder into the NVDA program directory. And when we first heard about this bug, I'll be honest, I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. That's not happening. Surely there was just some... Oh, crap. So that's been fixed.
Yes, it has.
Which is good. Thanks to our translators, who have done a fantastic job of getting, I think, most of the translations up to date. I think Meso was saying 21, and there's obviously more that are probably pretty up to date already, and that will be updated by the final release.
Yep.
So that's pretty good.
And thanks also to Messar, of course, for
managing it all.
All his hard work and stuff, and with the new system and all that, which seems to be working very well for translators. So.
It seems to be making their jobs much easier, and as a result, we're getting higher quality translations, which is fantastic.
We hope so, yes.
Yeah. I just wanted to do a quick note about the add-ons page, we have a page on the NVDA website for add-ons. It's not linked anywhere yet. We will fix that soon. There's only three add-ons listed at the moment, but the point is that we did want to start a page where people could get sort of really common add-ons.
Yes.
There's not really much point giving a URL. I'll probably link to it in the podcast or something in the notes.
That's fine.
If I remember. Donations. At this rate, we should have about... so far this year, 21,000 by the end of June. And that's about a fifth of what we need to run each year, obviously, for the 6 months.
Yeah, look, we're really, really thankful for all the contributions people have made. It makes a difference. But I guess what we're saying is, though, it still certainly costs a lot to develop a project like this. One fifth of the way there is pretty good.
And keep in mind that we're also looking for other sources of funding. We're just pointing out this is what the donations are. We're also looking for grants. And of course, as you know, and we've mentioned recently on Twitter and on the blog, we now have a grant from to work on Chinese input support.
That's right. And so thanks goes to the Taiwan Digital Talking Books Association and the Hong Kong Blind Union, and both of those have agreed to contribute to that to the project to make it much better for NVDA Chinese language users for NVDA. It'd be nice to also find we're still a bit of a shortfall with that. We'd like to find another third of that funding if anyone is interested, certainly from mainland China or Japan, or anyone who just is interested in Chinese or any other East Asian languages. We're still looking for extra funding. So,
yep. We have 43 monthly subscribers now. It's just a bit more than we had last time, averaging about $15, which is fantastic. If we could get, thanks so much to those of you that are, you know, it's much nicer to have a sort of more guaranteed stream of income there. If we could get 1,000 more of those, we'd be good.
It would be set, and we wouldn't, it'd run itself. We'd be able to do our jobs and
keep...
not have to worry about where the money's
going. We can focus more on pushing out those updates that everyone loves so much.
Exactly.
Just a really quick update on the statistics for users, since people seem to be interested in that, or at least we are. I assume everyone else is. We've got just over 1,000 users a day now, pretty much. So we're always hitting 1,000.
That's correct. Yeah. I did notice that today US users hit 200 finally, because it's always been sort of hovering around the 160, 180, and it seems we've hit 200 today. So we'll see if that continues. And as I've said before, then it's like Brazil, Portugal, Germany, and it goes on from there. Mm-hmm. And that's the trend seems to be sticking, really. That's what it tends to be.
Some thoughts on what's coming up in NVDA and future versions. I don't want to say 2012.3. We haven't quite planned that mm-hmm. fine yet, so it'll probably be the next couple of releases. Mm-hmm. We have what I'll be working on soon is PDF table column headers and row headers, mm-hmm. and also column spans and row spans. So, you know, when you have a column a cell that spans two columns and stuff like that, that we support that in Firefox, but we don't yet support it in PDF documents in Reader. Mm-hmm. And the same can be said for table headers. So it'd be good to get that fixed. Mm-hmm. And also computer braille input. So I don't want to sort of talk about grade 2 at this stage, but the idea would be to get, you know, if you've got a braille keyboard on your braille display, it'd be good to be able to at least type computer braille, and then we'll focus on grade 2 once we get the basics in. And there's also one other item which we're about to demonstrate, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, we're up to that bit now, are we?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, right.
We were going to actually talk about it all through the episode and make people think...
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
completely forgot. So we're going to go, and there's this cool demo coming up, guys, and you're going to have to wait till the end of the episode to hear it, but we're already there.
I guess we can introduce it by firstly thanking Samsung Australia very much for donating to us one of their Slate PC computers, Series 7 Slate PC, and... What this really is a device that looks rather like an iPad, but I mean, I guess that's what they all look like nowadays. But and
it's not a complete ripoff, right?
No, because the difference here is that it actually runs Windows, and it's fully featured, as in, you know, if you're just used to using a Windows laptop or something, everything's all there. But the beauty of it is that it has a touch screen, a multi-touch screen, so you can use it, you know, four or more fingers at the same time, and it's also, of course, you know, very small and lovely to carry around with you. I mean, I carried this up with me on the train to Jamie's, and it was actually quite nice not to have something heavier in my bag.
And so. It really doesn't have a keyboard.
No, it doesn't have a keyboard. Now, you can use wireless keyboards with it, or if you have the dock, you can plug in a USB keyboard. But the idea would also be that you can use the on-screen keyboard. Now, this is talking about with Windows 8. It's all gone very touch-centric. And the idea is that you should be able to use Windows 8 purely with touch. So all their messages and dialogue boxes and stuff are a little bit nicer for touch. And also, as I say, there's an on-screen keyboard now. So because we received this from Samsung, I've been busily coding some initial support for touch screens in NVDA.
We've been spending a ridiculous amount of time on the phone talking about it.
Yes.
How are we going to do it?
Yes, lots of conversations. And... But I think we've got something that we're sort of happy with as an initial sort of, what's the word, prototype, I suppose. I mean, it's probably not going to change too much more from what we've got, but, you know, it's just something to play around with. It's certainly now, at this point in time, I can do a lot of things on this slate without a keyboard, which is good. So I thought we would do a bit of a demonstration just to show you what it's all about. So I've got the... Slate.
This is going to be tricky. You're going to have to hold a mic and use a slate at the same time.
Slate in front of me, and I'm going to change hands with the mic because I'm right-handed. And I've already got Notepad opened in front of me, and it is maximized. And so I'm just going to tap the screen and see where I land. And I landed in an edit field, obviously Notepad's edit field, and it told me the current line, which apparently says goodbye! Exclaim, something I wrote before.
And we're going to slow that down.
Yes.
We do have a keyboard.
We
attached.
Have a keyboard over just here. Because... We'll just go and get a keyboard. Run down the street and get one.
We could open the NVDA menu and get to the voices dialogue and stuff. But
I mean, and of course, all this, you know, we might be able
I don't
to
think anyone can hear.
We might be able to make some of this more simple, but for now, this is what we've got. Is that rate good enough, 60? Or do you want it even slower?
Go to 50, maybe. All right,
we'll go to 50.
Rate 50.
There we go.
All right, so I'll touch the...
I think we really need to... get mic stands.
Touch the screen again. I got one, but it's very rusty.
Yeah.
There we go. So it said where I touched, and it says goodbye. Now, the idea is that for those who are familiar with iOS devices on Apple, a lot of the gestures are similar. So you've got taps and flicks. I don't know if they call them flicks, do they? They call them flicks or swipes?
They call them
flicks. They call them flicks? Okay. So taps and flicks, and you can do like taps and double taps and multiple fingered things, so two-finger tap or, you know, two-finger flick. And we also, what we have, we call hovering, which is sort of just keeping your finger on the screen and moving it around and reading what's under your finger there that way. There are a few other gestures, but they're the main ones. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my finger on the screen, and I can move my finger slowly up the screen.
Application menu bar contains commands, edit mode, and.
So firstly, I'll try and find the first line.
This is also a test, but starts on the next line. Dot.
Well, that's
this.
Second line.
This is also a test.
And so the idea is that as I move my finger up and down the screen, I'm reading each line as I go over it. I can go up to the
menu, item, sub-menu, alt, plus
to the menu help, bar, help. And it told me I was on help there.
Edit help menu item sub-menu alt the format menu
now
item sub-menu.
I'm moving my finger to the left across the menu bar here. Oops.
This is all just hovering.
Sometimes it's a little bit hard to find
application
it
menu
because
contains commands to manipulate the current view document alt application.
Because some things can be rather small on a Windows screen, but it takes practice. But the other thing, though, that we can do is that if you'd prefer to use object navigation, we have a few gestures that can you can use instead. So, for instance, if I just tap on
edit
the text
focus,
right here,
I
can then use object navigation. Now, I'm going to make sure I'm in the right mode. At the moment, we've got these things called modes, sort of text mode and object mode. We'll just
click
see.
Mode. Object mode. Object
you're doing that with, at the moment, it's
three finger tap, but that could change. So now if I flick right,
size box grid can be used to resize
it just
a window
takes me to
no next. Edit multi-line for application menu bar. Close
so
button.
I can see the
application
menu bar there. If I go
the
next, I can
edit
see
the
edit field of Notepad. For instance, if I go
application menu
previous,
bar
go to the menu bar, then I can flick down
menu
to go into the menu bar and go across
edit menu
like
item,
this.
Menu, new menu
so
item,
for those
item,
who are familiar with object navigation, it's really just that's what it is. It's object navigation with particular gestures. So some people will prefer to just use object navigation. Some people might prefer to actually move their finger around the screen all the time, finding what they want. Now, before we open anything else, I want to go to text mode.
Text mode.
There we go. And now some of these gestures I've been talking about, so flicking left and right and up and down, now move you specifically through the text. So if I flick right, I'm moving by character, and I can go left like that, and these are just flicks anywhere on the screen because it's moving the review cursor. I can flick up and down for lines.
This is also a test blank. Hi, comment. This is a test to show how the touch screen blank. This is also a goodbye man. Bottom goodbye man.
I can do two finger flicks left and right to move by word.
Blank. Bottom blank. Goodbye man. Line feed. Carriage return. Line dot. Next.
Moving by word. And I can do a, if I just move to the top
blank,
here,
comment, top,
I can do
comment,
a two
a
finger
to touch screen works, not.
Two finger flick down to do a say all, hopefully.
Hi, comment, this is a test to show how the touch screen works, not. This is also a test, but
yes.
Starts on the next line, not.
And I can do a, if I wanted to, I could do a two finger tap to to silence the speech. So that's really all the gestures we have right now. What I might do is I want to open, Firefox. Now, what I might do is, because we're talking about Windows 8, I'm going to press the... I shouldn't mention, in Windows 8, there's no start button on the screen anymore because... just because...
Did you want to show the touch keyboard?
The touch keyboard first, yes, you're right.
Bottom,
you're right.
Bottom,
so what I'll do is I'll move to the end of this line first. This... We'll eventually probably have some commands to move to the end of the line and stuff, but you know, busy coding this today on the train and here, and then the Samsung thing wouldn't boot, and then it didn't work for a while.
I was releasing RC2, or just trying
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah. So let's now, to start the on-screen keyboard, we have to look for it on the system tray. So I'm going along the system tray on the bottom right of the screen.
Just hovering.
There's the start touch keyboard, and tap. Okay, now I'm going to
That was a double tap, by the way.
Yes, I did a double tap. Now I'm going to do... now, again, those on iOS familiar with touch typing on iOS, right now I've implemented it like that. So the idea is that once you sort of move your finger around the screen, finding the key you want, and then you take your finger off and it types it. You can also do a double tap on each key, I think.
We don't know yet.
But, I mean, you know, all this is very, very new. We're you know, coding this every day, so we'll see. So let me just see if I can type hello here.
H button collapse.
Let's find
B button. H button collapse. H.
H, type that.
Edit multi-line focus on button.
E. This is very
B button collapse. E. J button collapse. K button. L button. L. K button. J button. K button. L button. L. O button collapse. O.
O. Now let's
edit multi-line focus. Goodbye man. Goodbye man. Bottom. Goodbye man. This is also a test button.
Yeah, I don't
on the next line.
I wonder where it's working again.
Hi, comment. This is a test to show how the touchscreen works. Not.
Let's see.
This is also a goodbye man. Bottom. Goodbye man.
No, maybe
because it wasn't
not
making the click
that
sounds
true,
either.
It's not making the click sounds.
B button,
are you not?
B.
Maybe not focused
H
on the airfield.
H. H.
Ah,
yeah.
There we go.
O.
Edit multi-line focus.
Right, so.
H button collapse. H.
H.
D button collapse.
Right,
R button.
We'll just type
E button collapse. E. E.
Like that. E.
L button.
So hover's not working.
L. L. Doesn't seem to be hover ups. Yes.
We keep breaking
them. M button. M button.
Yeah.
Comma. But L button. L.
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 And
O button collapse. O. O.
There we go. Now let's
welcome
go
to prototype land, ladies
edit
and gentlemen.
Multi-line focus. Hello, goodbye man. Hi, comma. This is a test to show how the touchscreen works. Not. Hi, comma. Hi.
Let's go down to the bottom.
This is the bottom. Hello, goodbye man.
There we go. It typed a hello there. So, I mean, look, you know, pretty rough around the edges, but the point is that we can type on the, you know, we can tap on the touchscreen, the on-screen keyboard. We can certainly read all the keys. At least you can find what you want. And again, this is just by keeping your finger on the screen and moving around to each button. Now, we could also use object navigation here.
Quick up. Object mode.
Here.
Size box. Strip. No next. Edit multi. CBC.
Here.
V button,
there we go.
V button,
I can
M
use
button,
object
M
navigation
button, comma, button,
and
collapse,
find the button,
collapse.
But not many people probably would do that.
It's very slow.
Yeah. So that's the touch screen, really. Big question is how to get rid of it.
The touch keyboard.
The touch keyboard. You want to hide it
right arrow button
somehow.
Change layout or hide right arrow button.
Now, that's interesting. On this oh, keyboard, you oh have things like right arrow keys and all that as well, which, of course, is different to, I don't think, the Apple ones
no
do. Now, so we want to, so let's open the start screen. So on Windows 8, I was saying there was no start button physically on the screen, but most devices are supposed to have a start key button on them, so sort of like the home button, I guess, on Apple. So press that, and it goes into the start screen, and I want to open Firefox, which I've installed. Now, I know it's roughly around the sort of middle bottom of the screen somewhere, so let's hope I can find that. There it is.
Unknown.
I just double tapped. Now I've opened the MBAccess homepage. Let's just silence the speech there, and that was a two-finger tap. Now, now I can read this page again just by moving my finger around the screen. So if I just place my finger anywhere, let's see.
Link,
I'm just dragging down. That's the paragraph. I can go up to
NVAccess in a non-dash level 1. Welcome to NVAccess.
I could even go up to the nav bar.
NVAccess in a non-dash heading level 1. Welcome
going
to NVAccess. Navigation landmark list
there
with six items. Link about us.
And I landed on about us. And I could move by word if I want to find the next link. That might be an easy way because there's lots of links on the line. So let's. I must have. I've got to go into text mode again.
Text mode.
There we go. We just invented the mode thing
this morning.
This morning. So, you know, hey. so let's do a two finger flick right.
Out of link, link, sir. Out of link, link, new.
Let's tap on news. And so I'm going to do a double tap here.
New link.
Let's see. if it's going to load. Yep, and it loaded our blog. And I could go down to where it starts. I can do a say all.
Recent posts left paren max 20 right paren dash browse for archive for more.
Well, I'm not really sure what that is.
Out of list and landmark visited link. Recent posts left per main landmark thanks to financial contributions from both the link Hong Kong Land Union left paren
HKU right paren
the link Taiwan Digital Talking Books Association left paren TDTB right paren common and access with.
All right, so we can do a say all from there, and you'll notice that, well, different to our, we originally, when we were testing, used some of our mouse announcement code for this, but what we've done is we've rewritten all that, so it's much more, it gives you much more semantic information. So as you move your finger around the screen, you will hear about headings and links and
we'll
things
probably
like that.
Change the mouse code.
We probably will change the mouse
just
code
have
as
to
well.
See what users
so,
think.
Yeah,
on that
we'll
one.
Have to get opinions from a lot of vision impaired people about that, so we'll see. But look, this is all new stuff and it all may change, so don't use this as a tutorial by any sense.
We're just showing off, really.
Yeah, of course. And so, yeah, that's pretty much what you can do with the touch screen. There's no real guarantee on when this will be out. We would be trying our hardest to have this ready for when Windows 8 is released, but we'll see, you know. So I'm not sure what.
Do you want to just really quickly turn on input help mode with the keyboard and
yes,
show to the touch?
That's a
I
good
just think
idea.
This is really cool.
Okay, so hang on. So I'm just going to...
With no extra effort, so just because of the way that we've implemented this
input
stuff,
help on.
Yes.
The gestures just automatically will work in input help mode.
I've got input help mode on, and I'm just going to tap the screen now.
Tap reports the object and content directly under your finger.
Tap if I do a two-finger tap.
Two-finger tap.
Three-finger tap.
Three-finger tap cycles between available touch modes.
Does it? Okay. three-finger flick down.
Two-finger flick down.
Sorry.
From the review cursor,
three-finger flick down. I could even do... I think I can do a... Let's do something really stupid here. A four-finger quadruple tap. I think I can do that.
Four-finger quadruple tap.
There we go.
Nice.
And so you can do
flick
flicks
left,
and
the flick right,
two
the
finger
cursor,
flicks.
Two finger flick down. Reads from the review cursor up to end of
at the moment,
text, moving
yeah,
the review
so that's,
cursor
that's
as it goes.
And hovering, obviously.
Hover reports the new object or content under your finger if different to where your finger
we do
was last.
Have,
hover reports the new object
I
left
think
control.
We, why didn't I just tap? Oh, I can't. That's very interesting. Don't worry. I could do a tap and hold, but we'll see.
Tap and hold.
Yes,
hover.
It did
reports
work.
The
so
new
that's cool.
Content under
except
your finger is different
stuff.
To where your
yeah,
two fingers
tap.
And we might be able to do...
Hover reports the WhatsApp. Reports the object and content
we'll
directly
just
under your
one.
Finger.
Okay, so that's really all the gestures we support.
Oh, you were trying to do a hold and tap?
Yeah. but that's really all the ones we support.
There seem to be
moment,
some bugs
so
in the Windows Touch
off.
Drivers.
NVDA they do, and we're going to have to have a close look at that and report it to Microsoft if... what's going
but,
on?
Look, that's kind of how it is. That's how it is at the moment. It's pretty exciting.
I think it's, I mean, look, I really like the, you know, obviously I like the size and, like, I mean, all devices are going to be different. But, I mean, I personally like this particular device and I can certainly now imagine myself, at least on the train or something, at least, you know, if all I need to do is read my email, maybe not typing. I mean, typing's possible, but, I mean, even for me personally on iOS, I don't really like typing that much. But,
no.
You know, reading my email or just reading a blog or whatever on the train. I mean, I could probably use my phone, but, you know, for more detailed reading and web surfing and that, this will be better. And, you know, I'd be happy to do that without having to get out the wireless keyboard or anything like that. So I think it's really going to be interesting times in the coming future, you know.
Indeed it is.
With this, so.
That's pretty much it from us, I think. I'll just check my notes because I have a habit of forgetting things. Pretty much that's it.
Well,
so
we should thank Adobe, of course,
I was about to say, our sponsors, Mozilla Corporation and Adobe Systems. Thanks very much.
Thank you. And again, thanks to Samsung again as well
for
their donation. Thank you.
And that's it from us, I think.
All right.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.